Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, welcome to the NASCAR NBC podcast. I'm your host, Nate Ryan, back here with another post-race edition of the podcast. We're talking after the Cup Series inaugural race at Gateway Worldwide Technology Raceway near St. Louis. We're going to get to that, but first, I want to introduce my guest, Kyle Petty, joining us for the first time since our first episode this season, so it's been almost 3 months.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long. So we're going to get to the race, but we got to talk about KP first. So the last time I had you on here, I think we were talking about your new memoir,
yes,
Swerve or Die, which is coming out August 9th.
August.
And I understand that you've already started recording the audiobook.
Yes. How about that, man?
That's cool.
I'm not sure that I can't pronounce or enunciate or articulate all of the words. you know how it is. I'm Southern. But that's going to be pretty cool. You know, It is tedious, time-consuming, and a lot harder than you think. And I think back to my first grade teacher who used to read books to us out loud all the time, and I'm thinking, she was really good at that. You know what I mean? I'm not, but it's fun. So that's going to be that's a side deal. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool. You know, it's funny you say that because when I edit this podcast, I've learned that. I've learned how important it is to speak slowly and clearly and enunciate. It sounds easy, and especially if you're reading something, it sounds simple, but
it's
I challenge anybody to try it.
Yeah, it's not,
it's,
man.
It's much harder.
And my cadence, you know, the more excited I get, the faster I talk, and then I slow down, and then I get louder, and I get softer. So it's going to be, it's a roller coaster.
All right, man. Well, that's keeping you busy. We're looking forward to that. Another reason we haven't had you is because you've been busy with your other outside activities from NASCAR and NBC. Dinner Drive Season
Dinner Drive.
2.
Yeah.
Starts next week.
Yeah. Listen, starts next week, and I'm really excited. John Oates, first episode.
Of Hall & Oates fame.
Of Hall & Oates fame. That's right, man. And it was like, it's crazy. And, you know, I'd always wanted to talk to him, not only about music, but he had a factory Pontiac deal in the early 80s.
Oh, that's
drove
right.
A sports car.
That's right.
And, I mean, had got to the top, I mean, of sports car, which is really good. Knew Al Holbert well.
Yeah.
I mean, knows a lot of people in the racing world, and his is an interesting story.
What is it about musicians and sports cars? Because I was just thinking that the lead singer of AC/DC was into sports cars, too.
I have no idea, but talking to John, they lived in that small town there where Holbert's dealership was. And you know, Al Holbert was an incredible race car driver, and they just came along about the same time, watched, listened, paid attention, got a club car and started doing some of that stuff. So him, Jeff Gordon, Darrell Waltrip.
Oh, nice.
Joe Gibbs. So it's been an interesting year. Chipper Jones was interesting.
I was just watching them do the edit over there on the Chipper Jones episode. But some more racing personalities, it sounds like, in season one.
I try, you know, listen. Those are the ones when I can't think of somebody else, I'm thinking, oh, that guy raced. I can call him and get him on the show. But the thing is, it's like I'm trying to balance a few race guys, a few other sports guys, a few other athletes, and then some music and entertainment people too. So you try to get across. And it's amazing how everybody's story is almost the same. Their desire to be the best, their drive to be the best, the adversity that they all – nobody gets to the top without something – almost tragic happening in their life that sends them in a direction and focuses them on what their dreams are. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah, sometimes the most challenging parts of life would define you. Yeah. That's good stuff. I certainly look forward to that. And then finally, I just want to give you one final plug. Kyle Petty Charity Ride just ended recently, and you raised over $1.7
million. Crazy.
Is that a record?
Crazy. It's dang close.
Yeah.
To come back from our 25th anniversary ride, which was back in 19, and to have the two COVID years in between, and then to come back with this ride and do something totally different, because we left Phoenix and went Havasu and just made a big circle in the Southwest. To do a different type of ride, you're always anytime you change something, you're apprehensive. But we had to shake it up a little bit, and to still be able to raise those type of funds for Victory Junction, it was a great year. And it's funny, Morgan had worked on this thing for a year, and then it laid on a shelf, but it didn't just lay there. She kept tweaking and tweaking and tweaking, and finally when it happened, it was an amazing ride. It was really a great ride. Eric Jones came out and rode Herschel McGriff.
I was going to say, this is so cool. The year he gets elected to NASCAR Hall of Fame, you're right there with him.
That was what was so cool, man. I'm like, my dad was on the ride, so we start the ride with one Hall of Famer, and we end with two, and I'm like, man, what a great ride. You know, Kenny Schrader went with us this year, and it was good to have Kenny and Ann back. So it was just a fun ride this year.
Oh, cool. Well, it's certainly good to have you back as well, KP, and eventful times in your life, eventful times in the NASCAR Cup Series at Gateway.
Yes.
A lot to talk about. Naturally, we're going to start with Ross Chastain and Denny Hamlin, but I want to go through it this way. There were three principal voices, I think, in this story, and we're just going to go through each one.
Okay.
And I'll start with Ross. So Ross Chastain, after his incidents with Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott, says,
"It was terrible driving, Jamie. It's one thing to do it once, but I just kept driving into guys. And at this level, I'm supposed to be better than that. And it's a shame for Moose and Advent Health and Jockey and Worldwide Express and have all these people believing in me and Justin Marks and Pitbull to put me in this car. They deserve better."
Will you go talk to them?
I will, yeah. I owe half the field Nibology, and it's words aren't going to fix it, so I'll have to pay for it on the track, and almost did today, and then I deserve everything that they do. I can't believe that I continue to make the same mistakes and overdrive the corners and drive into guys. I like had time under caution to like get reset, and we go green, and I drive into somebody. It's terrible.
So, your thoughts, Kyle Petty, on the contrite Ross Chastain, and what's kind of surprised me about this is he said all this almost proactively.
Yes, it was. See, that's my theory.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, see, that's what I love about it, because listen, I don't believe it and I don't care. I don't, because listen, I'm to paraphrase Justin Marks, I don't see where he did anything wrong. I you know what I mean? This car, we have heard from every driver, you can drive it more aggressive, and you have to be aggressive. You have to be aggressive to make things happen. Let's go back. Ross Chastain has been aggressive since he picked watermelons for a living. You know what I mean? I mean, he has shown us so many times on the racetrack. Aggression is where he comes from, and you know, even some of the stuff, you know, the Denny thing. Yeah, he might have got in the corner too hard. He might have run in there and hit him. And yeah, the thing with Chase. Man, Chase was already whining on the radio before they ever got into each other on that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, and he stuck his nose in there. But, man, you got to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, that was on a restart.
And
restart. That's
you
when you make
position games. Every driver will tell you, you have to make something happen. So I loved what Ross did, because they came to him first. Now, I would have liked to have seen it if we could run back the clock.
Yeah.
Now let's go to Ross last
and
see if it's the same Ross Chastain. Because what he basically did, watching the race yesterday with Jamie Little in that interview, was disarm the entire NASCAR community. Disarmed them. He took all their weapons away. He said, "It's on me. I did it. It's me. I'm aggressive. I did this. I kept trying to make myself."
Yeah.
I mean, he was so humble, and the way he went about it, it was perfect. And I'm thinking, that deserves an Academy Award.
He completely owned
it. Yeah, yeah, he owned it. And so for me, it was perfect. And listen, and that is wrong of me to say I don't believe it, because he probably is in some way. He probably did. But listen, dude, he's got a couple wins under his belt. He's kicking rear end.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to say sorry if I'm him.
So would it have been okay, do you think, if he would have just said, "Look, this is what I've got to do to be good in this series"?
Listen, if he said, "I drive my guts out, Joey Logano, I drive my guts out for my team every lap. I've got to make something happen for my team and for my organization. That's what I do." You know, I am tired. I've read Twitter, and I should never get on Twitter and read it. And I was listening to Sirius Radio. Well, you know, he's at that point in time in the race, he doesn't need to be driving that hard. He doesn't need to be that aggressive. It's what he gets paid for.
Yeah.
It's what he gets paid for, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying, you know, whoo, man, that movie was good, but that one part in the movie, that guy just quit acting. You know, he just he laid down on me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you get paid to give it 110% or 100%. There is no such thing as 110. 100% all the time. You know what I mean? By God, that's what he does.
Yeah.
And you got to appreciate that. And listen, Justin Marks backing him up. I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, and that's where I want to go next. The guy who does sign his paychecks is Justin Marks. Justin talked to Dustin Long of NBCSports.com after the race, and this is what Justin Marks said.
Ross is pretty hard on himself. I mean, how do you look at...
Well, I didn't hear what he said, obviously. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's a single thing Ross Chastain did wrong today. Not a single thing. This is a very, very competitive sport. And like every single, you fight for every single inch. And the thing is that he's a newcomer in the top five. And the established top five guys don't like that there's a newcomer there. And so I'm super, super proud of him. He's very aggressive. That's what's required in winning races. And it's when ultimately it's going to get him to a point where he's going to be a NASCAR champion. Is this aggression matched with his talent? So I'm super proud of him. And it's all a learning experience for him, and we'll go from here.
So how would you reconcile that, Kyle, what Justin Marks said with what Ross Chastain said? Or does it matter? To your point, what if Ross Chastain would have gone last and known what Justin Marks had said before he said it?
Yeah, listen, all Justin Marks and Ross Chastain need to do is sit down at a table. And Justin needs to say, are you good? And if Ross says, well, you know, maybe I could have done this, or maybe I – then, and Justin needs to say, don't change. I'd rather kick you in the ass and move you forward than try to pull you back. You know what I mean? Or I'd rather try to pull you back than kick you in the ass. I got that wrong. But you know what I'm saying? But the point is, you can't teach that aggression. You know what I mean? Listen, we've had it. You and I have had this conversation. And my man, and I love him to death. This is not a knock. And I said it at the time. Martin Truex got out at Martinsville. Wave to the crowd. He's not going to win the championship. Joey Logano is never going to do anything. I tell you what, no. That's not who Martin Truex is.
Yeah.
Martin Truex is not going to pay somebody back. He's not going to be that guy because that's not who he is. Okay? Ross Chastain can't be Martin Truex. It's not who he is. He's not shown that in go-karts. He's not shown that in late models. He's not shown that in Xfinity or trucks. He's not shown it in trucks. We know who Ross Chastain is, just like we know who Joey Logano is, and we know who Kyle Busch is, and we know who Kevin Harvick is. You can't change that.
Yeah.
So if I'm Justin, I'm saying, don't change, dude.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah, put that uniform back on, put that helmet on, and be who you are, and that's what you need to do.
So to that point, it's great that Ross apologized and was contrite about it and said, hey, sorry, Chase, sorry, Denny, but really – there isn't anything he should do. He should keep racing
He
this
should
way.
Keep racing the way he is. Yeah, I think he should. And that's just if he was my driver, I would say yes. You know what I mean? I mean, he is fast becoming that driver. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times you sit around, and I heard a discussion the other day about A.J. Allmendinger and his record on road courses in the Xfinity and some of the Cup stuff. And you look at it and you say, man, if I'm going to run a road course race in a stock car, I'm going to call A.J. Allmendinger. He's my guy. Ross Chastain is becoming that guy where you look at it and you say, hey, I need somebody that's going to run the top five weekly, Ross Chastain. And, I mean, he's doing it when Joey Logano hadn't done it every week. Denny Hamlin, for dang sure, hadn't done it every week this year. Chase Elliott hadn't. There's a lot of people that haven't been as consistent as Ross Chastain is this year. So from that perspective, why do I want to change? I mean, why do I want to change what I'm doing?
If he does sort of own it a little bit more from the perspective of, hey, this is the way I'm going to be. I'm going to turn heel a little bit, and maybe I'm the villain because this is the way I'm going to race, but I'm going to do this unapologetically. Could he play that kind of role? Could he? I mean, I know that's almost like an Earnhardt type-esque sort of thing, but could he be that kind of guy?
Here's the funny part, and I was laughing at this. Honestly, I was laughing at it this morning. I was going to get the oil change in my car, and I was listening to the radio. I'm laughing about it. So fans are going to have a quandary. Am I going to pull against Ross? Am I going to pull against Joey? Am I going to pull against Kyle? I mean, we've got too many bad guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Honestly, we've got too many guys that people are booing. You know what I mean? I mean, when you look at it now, and nobody's really, you know, we got Chase that everybody still cheers for, and Dale Jr., when he comes to the racetrack, we got him. But everybody else is just middle of the road. So, listen, I think, honestly, the short time that I've had to be around Ross and to talk to him in different ways, I think he's a lot like Joey Logano and the way that if he walks in the room and he starts talking, you instantly like him. He's got a great personality. He's engaging. He's bubbly, and he's just a nice person. But when he puts that helmet on, he's a race car driver. And he comes for one reason and one reason only, to take the trophy and to take the money and to beat you. And you know what? That's what he does. That's his job. Kyle Busch, on the other hand, he could walk in the room and stand in the corner, and he's perfectly content with that. But that's who Kyle Busch is. Yeah. And I can appreciate that too. Yeah. I've got no problem. But it's just a different mentality. It's yeah. just, you know, Joey, you know, we went through this with Joey, a couple weeks ago at Darlington. Joey felt like that's what he had to do to win a race. You know, in his mind, that's what he had to do. Now, we can all stand on the outside and point fingers and say, man, you should have passed him. You could have done this. Doesn't make any difference. He's the one in the car. He's the one in the helmet. He's the one hanging onto the steering wheel. He's the one that gets up on Monday morning and shaves and looks in the mirror and says, I'm good with that, bud.
Yeah.
I can see that trophy in the reflection behind me. You know what I mean? And that's – so it's just that mentality, man. It's yeah. just – and I think in this day and time with this car – you about have to have that mentality. If you watch the way these guys that are winning and running up front now, that's the way they're running.
Yeah, the new car, I think, is another layer to this.
Yes, it is.
For sure, especially for the established veterans, yeah. the guys like Harvick and yep. Hamlin, who are now trying to adapt late in their careers to this totally new ball game.
Yep.
And you made the apt comparison there to the Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr. war that erupted a few years ago. And I want to tie that back to something Justin Marks was saying. Marks was talking about how that he feels like some of the pushback here to Chastain, as you said, he's the new guy. He's come on the scene this year, breakout year. The established top five guys don't like a newcomer,
yeah.
is what Marks said. Do you think, is that part
so,
of this?
Or? So listen, I always date myself when I do things like this. Okay, but I'm gonna go back to two cases. If I go back to Richard Petty, Bobby and Donnie Allison, Buddy Baker, Cale Yarborough, David Pearson, let me throw Darrell Waltrip in there. They hated Darrell. Hated Darrell. Because Darrell was the newcomer. He comes in with a new team, with that DieGuard team, you know, in his second or third year, whatever. And he starts winning races and running door to door with him.
And running his mouth. This is where Jaws came from.
And you're not, but you're not supposed to do that.
You're
not supposed to do that. Okay. Fast forward to a kid named Jeff Gordon, who jumps out in the middle of Earnhardt and Rusty and all those guys. No, you're not supposed to do that. Fans didn't appreciate that. Fans did not appreciate Jeff Gordon. True, the established fans didn't appreciate that. And some of the established drivers didn't appreciate that. You know what I mean? So I think you've had these scenarios at different times. I think the car is part of that process this time. It has kind of sped that process up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where last year you wouldn't have had this problem with Ross Chastain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe he would have been up there running with these guys like this. But this car, all of a sudden, boom, he's right in the mix.
Yeah.
He's in the middle of them. So I think it's timing. And listen, we talk about this sport and it does this. It's just cyclical. You know what I mean? What happened in 64 was going to happen again in 78, and this is going to happen again in 95. I mean, it's just, that's the way it goes, you know? And I think we're just in that phase where, yeah, the established guys and the establishment doesn't like, he's got two marks against him, kind of like Darrell. New team, new driver. You know what I mean? He shouldn't be running with Gibbs. He shouldn't be running with Hendrick. He shouldn't be running with Penske. What's he doing up there? Somebody needs to knock him back to the back, you know, and he just keeps hammering and keeps going. And listen, and his teammate, Daniel Suarez, has done the same stuff. He's led races and run up front. They've had some terrible luck. But here's two teams that are going to be a factor, you know, week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, that's why this is a wrinkle with this car, because, as you say, Trackhouse has really emerged, I think you could say, probably a first-tier team this year.
Yes.
And that's the wrinkle that makes it different from when Logano came on the scene in, you know, the mid-2010s and then becomes the championship winner in 2018. And at that point, it was like Truex and other guys were kind of pushing back on Logano because they didn't like the fact that he was doing well, but they were still doing well. Now it's like, hey, this new guy, not only is he doing well, he's outrunning us.
Yes.
And that is like another
and
level.
And they're the different.
Altogether.
And you got to look at Truex, and you got to look at Kevin, and you got to look at those guys. It's just a fact, and I know people hate it when I say it. And listen, if you're 40 plus, you're on the backside. Used to, it was when you got to 50, you were on the backside, you know what I mean? But in this day and time, when you're 40 plus, you're looking at the end, and you're looking at kids you know, this is, I hate to say it, but if you want to see how it turns out, it's kind of like Cars 3. you know, where the next gen and the young ones end up winning and the old group retires. Sorry, that's the way it is. So just, it's animated if you want to watch it in animation.
I love it. So kind of threw me with the Piston Cup reference there. Let me gather my thoughts. Well, first, let's just touch on Truex really quick because you mentioned it.
Yeah.
He was asked, I believe, by Bob Pockrass this past weekend if he's decided on next year because he's in a contract year. And it sounds like, you know, as he told Bob, he's really wrestling with this.
Yeah.
And you mentioned 40-plus. I mean, Truex just crossed that threshold and is now in his 40s. And it sounds like he's really, really conflicted about whether he wants to keep racing. What do you think? I mean, do you have any insight or thoughts on that?
No insight. But I say this, and I've said this to you, and I've said this a million times. I hate when drivers retire, okay, or forced to retire. I hate it because Truex, that's all he ever wanted to be. He didn't want to be a clam fisherman. You know what I mean? He wanted to be a race car driver.
Right.
Now we have a 40-plus-year-old boy, because that dream of driving a race car is still that little boy's dream.
Childhood dream.
Yeah, that's your child. And you get to do it for 40 years. Think about it. You get to do it until you're in your 40, early 40s, mid-40s. And you get to that point where you say, I'm just going to have to put that dream in a box. You know, I don't get to do that anymore. You know? And you're very blessed because you got to race for that long. But at the same time, that's a part of who Martin Truex is. That is a part of, just like his DNA is to be a nice guy. That's about driving a race car. So, but I will say this also, that once you start thinking, you better start getting.
It's almost too late at that point.
Yeah, it's time to get out. Yeah. You know what I mean? If it crosses your mind, it's time because you just got beat. You just got beat because you're out there riding around and you're getting passed by Ross Chastain and you're thinking, I don't have to put up with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can get out. I don't have to.
I've got my championship.
That's right. And when that starts clicking in your head, no matter what you do, you know, I said it when I quit. And it's always, you've seen it, guys retire and then come back for two more races or come back and do, don't come back, dude. Don't come back. you know what I mean? Because you've already made up your mind.
Yeah.
And you've already stepped the game. This is not, driving a cup car is not a part-time job. It's a full-time job. And that means 365, 24/7 to be focused and dedicated. When something else enters that, I think it's time. That's just my opinion.
You can't just reboot your competitive spirit and juices and say,
I don't believe
again.
You can.
Yeah. All right, so I said we'd go to three voices here from the Chastain-Hamlin. So we heard from Ross Chastain. We've heard from Justin Marks. Denny Hamlin is still on our list.
Yep.
So Denny was pretty clear that Ross had it coming and that this is not over. Here is what Denny said.
We had a miserable day. We went from running up front to limping around a car 8 laps down or wherever we were all day. So, you know, you're just gonna have to weigh the odds of when's the right time to make sure that they get the message.
What you gave him a warning. Elliot gave him a warning. What more do you need to do?
You got to do more. You have to do more than that. There are no warnings. I mean, you just can't, you know, you just, when you make decisions and, you know, obviously he wasn't shy after, you know, our contact. I mean, it seems like there's no sense of conscience there that says that maybe I'm going a bit aggressive. But, you know, that's his decision to make. He can make any decision that he wants to, honestly. He's his own guy. And he's been very successful doing what he's doing, but ultimately, sport is self-policing. When you least expect it, what it means the most is when it comes back around. You gotta just fence these guys hard, just to kind of get their attention. But it's gonna be a meaningful day.
So that made a little bit of controversy headlines, Kyle, whatever you want to say. I mean, Denny's vowing retribution in kind of a very forceful, impactful way. Do you think that's fair?
Well, you know, I think Denny needs to go back and look at the tape of Martinsville when he ran all over Chase Elliott getting into turn three. Do you know what I mean? Because basically what he's talking about is what he did to Chase.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's tough to weigh that. And all drivers do that. Yeah, we know that. All drivers. Am I the guy that hit the other guy, or am I a guy that got hit? And you say your stuff. But the thing is, listen, we have it all the time. Everybody gets out and runs their mouth. Everybody gets out and runs their mouth. You have junk talk in the NBA. You have, I mean, you know, we have trash talk everywhere. The difference is that somebody could get hurt here. And if Denny says this and then fences Ross and Ross is hurt, I don't know. I mean, that's a bad thing, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because here it is. So you can't and that's where you step over the line in a comment. You might can think that. And there's plenty of people that think stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you can say that. And maybe who knows? Maybe you learned that in sensitivity training. I don't know. but I think you gotta think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what Denny did yesterday, okay? And I don't care. I understand his frustration, okay? But that was Saturday night street stock racing at your local short track.
Right.
Running him down the front stretch, weaving and all this stuff, running him up next to the wall, doing all that stuff. That's not befitting of a driver the caliber of what Denny Hamlin is.
This is Bowman Gray Madhouse.
Yeah, that's exactly
stuff.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and then Denny was just having a bad day because he backed it up with Stenhouse. Whenever Stenhouse spun his driver, then he takes a swipe at Stenhouse. Listen, are we going to give Joe Gibbs and Penske a car to go out there and take a swipe at somebody every time? That's you drive for me, dude.
Yeah.
That's a Gibbs issue. Yep. Gibbs should be, you know, saying, don't.
Yeah.
You drive for me. So
that's
I don't. Yeah, yeah. I hear what Denny's saying, but from my perspective, and I say this as an ex-driver, from an ex-driver's perspective, and I have driven cars and wrecked people and been wrecked and been in those situations, is you say things that you wish you could take back, and he probably would take back the fencing part. You know what I mean? I would, because Denny's better than that.
I think he is more, sensitivity training aside, I think he is more conscious of these things as a team owner now as well. I think he understands words have consequences. But you just raised the issue, Kyle. We're in year 13 of the Boys Have At It era, which I know you had reservations about when this started in 2010. Does NASCAR need to step in at some point on self-policing here?
Listen. You know what? That when I saw or heard the radio bit where – okay, tell Denny that's about enough of it. What? Who is that talking? Is that my grandmother?
Yeah.
Is that my grandmother?
Denny just laughed and said, ha, right.
That's exactly right. Wait, is that my grandmother talking to me? I don't know who that is talking. You know, but it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, when you see what was going on the racetrack and you're in a new market at a new place putting on what you hope is the best of the best – and to showcase what your sport is, and that's going on, they should have been all on top of that. NASCAR should have. And it should have been more doing it down the front stretch. Okay, I got you. But don't take it for a whole lap. I mean, they dropped back. I don't know what their speeds were. I'd like to go back and look because they went from being the last two cars to almost two-thirds of a lap behind.
It was like pace car speeds or less.
It was crazy. It was crazy. You know what I mean? And listen, everybody's gotten lost in the, well, they were in the accidents and they had to get minimum speed. I don't give a rat's rear end about minimum speed. This has got nothing to do with minimum speed.
Right.
These are two guys running at each other with 30, what do these things weigh now?
3,600 pounds
stock cars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are two guys running at each other.
Yeah.
So basically – we could just go out here to Interstate 77 and watch some road rage because that's what we were watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just that's not a good optics for the sport.
So maybe NASCAR needs to say, look, we know we implemented this frontier justice style, you know, process of retribution where we're not going to get involved, but there has to be a limit to how much you're allowed to police it.
Yeah. They still have to step in.
Yeah.
And I know we go back to this as a watershed moment. They did not step in. If we go back to Joey and Matt Kenseth, and we saw what happened. Since that time, they have been really good of at least corralling the two people and putting them together in a truck.
Between races.
And they need to be doing it here. Now, are they? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's above my pay grade. You know what I mean? But before they go on the racetrack at Sonoma or wherever we go from here on, or a racetrack where they think there is retribution, then – you know, I think you got to I think the sanctioning body, that's part of being a sanctioning body, is to get these people together because they've done it in the past and it's worked and they need to do it again.
So forgive me for taking 30 minutes to get to the fantastic finish that we had, but
yeah.
But let's talk about the fantastic finish between Joey Logano
yes.
and Kyle Busch. You referenced it already, Kyle, that much different from what we saw at Darlington earlier yep. this year, where Joey felt that William Byron had unfairly passed him and he just knocked Byron aside at Darlington to get that win. In this case, we saw, I thought, some really impressive back and forth slide jobs, crossovers, and Joey Logano emerges as the winner. And I had forgotten, like I had to Google to remember the Logano Kyle Busch history here.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, Vegas 2017 was where Kyle Busch took a swing at Joey.
Yeah.
And 5 years later, it's cool that they seem to have reached this point of like having this newfound respect for each other. And Logano said after the race that,
you know, Kyle and I have raced each other for a long time now. And, you know, I even think back to when we raced Xfinity cars and, you know, before I moved up the Cup, right, we were racing each other for wins a lot earlier in my career. And, you know, and to still do that today, it's pretty cool, right? Kyle's one of the best in the sport. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a slugfest right there to the end. And to be able to have Blaney behind me, he gave me the push. That was what I needed, you know, to be able to have position down in the one. He knew the slide job was coming. He knows me pretty well, and he crossed me back. And then I kind of figured it was coming back at me after, if I'm willing to do it, he's going to be willing to do it. And so I just kind of saw it coming and crossed him back. And was able to clear him by, you know, 2-3 car lengths off of 4 to take the white flag. And that was, you know, kind of the deciding factor. You know, if we came off that corner side by side still, I don't know what the finish would have looked like. But once I was able to clear him 2-3 car lengths, I felt like, okay, just normal lap here and I'll be all right.
When I think of the history here, I'm a little bit surprised that we're here based on,
yeah.
I mean, I guess Kyle Busch has a history with everybody. I guess Joey Logano
yeah.
kind of does too. But they clearly have reached some common ground here where they can race like this for the win on the final lap and not have it go awry the way it does with other guys.
Yeah, but I think they both, it's a funny thing. And I read some of Joey's stuff that Dustin sent out.
Yeah.
About you have a book on that guy.
Right, right.
You know how he
yep.
races. You know,
yep.
And we talk about that a lot, having a book, understanding how someone races, understanding what to expect when you look in the mirror and you see that car. And I think it's fascinating that Joey acknowledges that their book goes way back. Way back. It's not just a Cup book.
Yeah.
It's a truck. It's an Xfinity. It goes way back. But I think what you get is the same thing that we've seen and I will put it this way to you. The same way we've seen in prior decades of what a real rivalry is they might not like each other, but they respect each other. And I think we saw that on the racetrack yesterday with those two guys. They respected each other. They gave each other space. I mean, Kyle didn't have to race that way. Joey didn't have to race that way. We know they're both willing to lean. They're both willing to push the limits. But they gave each other room. I mean, they actually gave each other room to get sideways and catch it and come back. And I slipped, you catch up, you slip, I catch up, one of those things. And that was, if we go back, that's more reminiscent of me, for me, of some of Earnhardt and Rusty, Earnhardt and Darrell, Richard Petty, David Pearson, Cale Yarborough, you know, whoever you want to make, of some of our greatest drivers in the history of the sport, racing and racing.
Yeah.
Racing.
Yeah.
And rubbing ain't racing, it's racing, okay? You know what I mean? No matter what you say. So I think for me, it was a classic finish on a racetrack that people really had looked at and talked about and said, what kind of race are we going to have here? What can we pass with these cars? And I think in those last 2 or 3 laps, a lot of questions were answered about the car, but how people would race. And you know what? I got to give credit to the 12 of Blaney and the 45 of Kurt Busch. There were opportunities they might could have stuck it up in there, and it might have changed the game a little bit. But they were on edge too, and they slipped just enough that it separated and let those two. But in those first couple of laps, I mean, they could have been a factor also. But it was a good finish.
Yeah.
It's a classic NASCAR finish.
Very classic. And it was a nice way to put a period on a day with, again, like as you said, had some optics that weren't quite as good for NASCAR to have two champions show, hey, this is the way you race it out at the end of a race. And also interesting, Kyle, that the top two finishers at Gateway have a lot of history in inaugural races.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch won the inaugural at Kentucky 2011. Joey Logano won the first Bristol Dirt Race. He won at the Coliseum at the Clash earlier this year, and now he wins Gateway. And Logano was asked about it. He said,
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports, you won Bristol Dirt, you won the Coliseum, you win here. What is it with you and first-time Cup races at tracks?
Beats me. I don't know. Like I said earlier, I think it's just kind of being able to adapt quickly as a race team. I don't think it's just me. I think all of us as a race team, we were able to, call the right strategies, adapt to restarts quickly, understand what lanes are going to move, where the track's going, how to adjust on the car. All those things are new. I don't know. I enjoyed the challenge. It's fun. But honestly, this weekend, we were just fast. I mean, we unloaded fast. Like I said, for not having much data, we unloaded quick and just car went fast this week.
So any thoughts on that? Any reason why you think Joey's so good, and Kyle too, but Joey especially has just been so good at racetracks that are new?
They're exceptional drivers. They are exceptional drivers. I think if you – Joey Logano just turned – how old is Kyle?
37.
Yeah. I think if you take Joey's 30, 31, if you take Kyle Busch up to 31 and lay his record, cup record, and Joey Logano's and Kyle Busch is the same, they're going to be pretty close. They're going to be pretty close in wins. They're going to be pretty close in top fives. They're going to be pretty close in top tens. Now, Joey's not off running trucks and Xfinity races 10 million times, but just take those cup races. I think the thing is – those two guys thrive on just throw me in the parking lot and let's run a race and I'll beat you. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they do. I mean, it's they take pride in that.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch won the – and I'll throw – I said it before. Kyle Busch won the first race in the car tomorrow.
That's right. And
the COT when we had it at Bristol.
Even though, this car sucks.
I'm happy to win this race.
But
I'm happy to win this race. So you throw something new at those guys. You change, make a rule change. You do something. Those guys just – they seem to find that place. Yeah, you know what I mean? I think it's not only their teams, because you have to look at the teams they're with, but I think they just dig a little deeper. And we've seen it with both of those guys. Both of those guys. If you take their wins, I'm sure you can look at Joey's and take 8 or 10 wins and look at Kyle's and take, since he's got 50 or 60 now, then you can probably take 10 or 15 of his wins. And there were races that they won in the last 8 or 10 laps, but they didn't have the best car. They just willed that car. They willed it to win. They put it on their shoulders. They drove that thing. They dragged it. They threw it across the finish line, and they were the winners. And you look at other drivers, there's a zero in that column. They won because they had the best car. They won because they had the best day. These guys win races and have top fives and top tens. Well, they don't have the best day. They make that happen. And there's only a few guys out there that do it, but those two guys can do it.
It was special to watch for 57,000 or so people at Gateway. Sellout crowd. Kyle, second time this year, NASCAR enters a new market. You mentioned Clash at the Coliseum. That was a huge success.
Huge.
Preseason race in Los Angeles. Now they go to St. Louis, which isn't really a new market, but it's new for the Cup Series. And it's amazing, the energy you can generate by just taking NASCAR to some place that hasn't had the premier circuit.
Yeah. And listen. They did, by all indications and by everything that I saw, everything that I've read, everything that I've heard from people that were there, it was phenomenal, okay? It was absolutely phenomenal. But if everybody got married after their first date, there'd be a lot of divorces, okay? So let's be honest. I don't want to throw cold water on it.
No.
But Indy was spectacular when we went there in 94 also. You know what I mean?
And there were about 5 times as many people.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you thought, oh, my gosh, we're going to come back here forever. Now we're running a road course up there. You know what I'm saying?
With a crowd that's smaller than when they had a Gateway.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where it's come to.
Yeah.
So we can't – I want to give them props, and I do. And I give NASCAR props for trying new markets and going places. But the telltale sign will be come back in 5 years, come back in 10 years. Let's see what that looks like, and where it's at. When the newness wears off, and the luster wears off, are we still there making something happen? That's the thing. And listen, I used to work with a guy, TV, and he would say, "Don't use the word great, because everything can't be great." Okay, well, that was one race. Don't use the word epic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just a race, man. It is just a race, and it was a good race, and it was a solid race, and there were some huge pluses that went on the racetrack. The finish was a great finish and a classic finish for NASCAR, but there's words that are being thrown around that, I throw them around for maybe Elvis or Cher or somebody like that, but you know what I'm saying. Let's tamp it down a little bit and just say, okay, let's go back. I'll be back in 8 or 10 years, and we'll see where we're at.
Joey Logano won at Gateway. The superlatives can end there.
Yeah,
yeah. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, this is year two for Nashville, and of course that's when NASCAR NBC kicked off its season last year.
Yes.
So looking ahead now to wrap this up, Sonoma next week, then an off week, and then NASCAR NBC picks up the schedule in Nashville. What we got here? 11 races left in the regular season. 11 winners so far. Just your thoughts on where we're headed here with this next gen, and
I have no idea,
which has been great, I think, to some degree.
Yes, it has. And I will use the word great. What's been great about this car, it has changed the sport.
Yeah.
And it has
it
changed,
truly has.
It has changed the product on what we see on the racetrack. And so many changes that were made from bodies and vents and, you know, all the things that went on aero-wise and engine-wise over the last 7 or 8 years didn't really change the product. It didn't. It changed it for one race, but it didn't. This has changed the product on what I, as a race fan, see, on visually what I see on the racetrack, especially on a mile track, a mile and a half track, road courses, some of those places. It's a lot different. So, you know, I was looking at the playoffs where everybody's at. Kevin Harvick's below the cut line. Like you say, you're 10, 11 races from the playoffs, and he's below the cut line. When's the last time that happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, the question, and I hate to put it this way, but just to be blunt, is where's Truex been all year?
I know.
You know what I mean? I mean, there are guys that we keep waiting to show up. At the same time all that's happened, we see Ross Chastain, Eric Jones, solid seventh place finish in Petty GMS Racing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we see guys like that. We see Ricky Stenhouse and JTG Jardy.
Tyler Reddick and Daniel Suarez, on the verge of a win.
So when you say, when we sit here and you say what's happening and what do the next 11 races hold, God only knows. You know what I mean? I think this is one of those years or one of those times in a sport, and especially in this sport, where so many things are converging at the same time. It seems to be a changing of the guard. It's a changing of the car.
Yeah.
It's a changing of the tracks we go to.
Yeah.
It's a changing of the fan base, you know, and the markets that we go to. There's so many things converging at the same time that, man, you can't read the tea leaves. You know what I mean? Because you just – it's just tough right now. So, listen, I hope it continues. I hope 11 races, 11 faces, whatever, you know, or 11 different winners and all this stuff. You get into all that. All these catchy little logos and all this stuff. I don't care if somebody goes out and wins the next 10 races, if it's one driver. That's okay with me. As long as what we see on the racetrack continues to be what we're seeing right now, where guys can run side by side, they dice, they get – this car is a tough car. We've seen that it'll take a lick in the wall and keep on ticking. I mean, there's a lot of good things that are happening. So by the time we get to Nashville, we take this thing over. You know, I'm looking forward to it because it's going to be exciting. You know, and I think, you know, with Junior and with Letart and Burton and Rick and those guys in the booth, with our group, I just think there's a lot of excitement that's been building as we've watched the first 15 or 16 and a lot of pent-up energy. So I know Dale Jarrett and myself and a bunch of us were ready to go, and I know you are too, but it is just – I'm excited to get our side started.
There's a lot happening. And I'm really looking forward to getting to Nashville and working with you and with everybody else. And I look forward to having you here today. Thanks again for joining us, Kyle, as always.
You've got
a lot going on with your life as well. So
thank you, man.
Dinner Drive next week.
Yeah.
Kyle Petty.
Tune in.
We again appreciate Kyle Petty for joining us. And I was remiss in omitting the fact that you can watch Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty on Peacock. It's also on the Circle Network. But all of the first season of Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty is streaming on Peacock as well. And that's also where you will find season 2, which, as KP said, begins next week. So if you have enjoyed Coffee with Kyle, that's the wonderful Motorsports on NBC YouTube series of conversational interviews that Kyle Petty does with racing personalities, I think you also will like Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty. KP has a way of getting people to open up to him. So our thanks again to Kyle for joining us on the NASCAR on NBC podcast. Thanks as well to NASCAR and NBC producers Emily Conboy and Aaron Feldstein for lining up KP as our guest. A reminder that we also taped this podcast on camera ahead of NASCAR America Motormouths in our NBC Sports Charlotte studio. Motormouths airs Mondays and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Peacock, and all the Motormouths episodes and clips are on the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. You also can find lots more great content and highlights there daily, as well as the on-camera version of this podcast. So make sure you visit and subscribe to the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. If you have any NASCAR on NBC podcast feedback, you can send me on Twitter. At Nate Ryan is my handle. Thanks again for listening to the NASCAR on NBC podcast.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.